Today our Bible reading is again in the book of Romans, and we're moving to chapter 7, Romans chapter 7. We're going to read this chapter, and I trust you'll bear with me. We have some technical statements here, and I trust that we will benefit as we read the Lord's word here in Romans 7, verse 1. Know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, how that the law hath dominion over a man as long as he liveth. For the woman which hath an husband is bound by the law to her husband so long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, she is loosed from the law of her husband. So then, if while her husband liveth, she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is free from that law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man. Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. For when we were in the flesh, the motions of sins, which were by the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit, and not in the oldness of the letter. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin but by the law. For I had not known lust, except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. But sin, taking occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all manner of concupiscence. For without the law, sin was dead. For I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived, and I died. And the commandment, which was ordained to life, I found to be unto death. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it slew me. Wherefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy, and just and good. Was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid. But sin, that it might appear sin, worketh death in me by that which is good, that by the commandment might become exceeding sinful. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that I do not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law, that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. Welcome to Let the Bible Speak. This is Pastor Ian Gallagher, and I hope that you are encouraged as each day you join with us here on these programs. We love to hear from our listeners, and I look forward to getting your email or perhaps even your phone call. It is always our delight to be in personal touch with our listeners. One of the handicaps of radio preaching is that I speak to a microphone and I have to think of individuals that I talk to on the phone, or some who come to our church and some who perhaps email me, and I'm aware that they are listening in. And I would love to have your input and your participation in this ministry also. Indeed, we're always looking for people who will be praying for and standing with us here on this radio station. May the Lord bless you today through His Word. We're going to Romans chapter 7. We're going to be looking at this balance between the liberty of the gospel and avoiding legalism. Liberalism, or that liberty that people take, becomes a license to sin. That's the ditch on one side of the road. And then legalism, or a kind of religious bondage, that is the ditch on the other side of the road. And my desire is that you will learn today from Romans chapter 7 how you may live that balanced life in the liberty, in the joy of sins forgiven, of the assurance of salvation, which is very precious, one of the greatest blessings that we can ever know, to know with absolute certainty that we are free from sin and will never be in hell, but also that we might live to honor and exalt the one who hath bought us with his own blood. The Apostle Paul said, we are not our own, we are bought with a price. And so we do have this obligation, this responsibility to live not to ourselves, but unto the Lord. And I want to plead with you to don't get worldly, don't get lazy, don't get selfish, but bow the knee to the Lord Jesus and remember that He is Lord of your life, and therefore you must live for Him and serve Him all your days. We're turning now to Romans 7. Now these words, some commentators say that it was like the Roman practice of tying a dead corpse to a living prisoner. And you can imagine being bound to a dead corpse until the corruption of the corpse becomes now part of you. And you've got to move around and act with this corpse tied to you. It's not only a burden and a bondage, but it's the sense of the corruption of that dead body bound to you. Now, whether that is Paul's mind as he wrote these words, it's still a good picture of what we sense as a Christian. We sense that these bodies are a hindrance to us and not a help. We confess that we're still in the flesh. We have sin tendencies. We have that nature that is inclined to the lusts of this world. Now, when Paul confesses here and he says, the things that I would, I do not, and the things that I do not, and so on, Paul is not saying, I'm a flagrant, vile, public sinner. No, he had done nothing to be cast out of the church or to be disciplined for. But he was speaking about his own sense of corruption. Nobody could have seen it in his life, but he saw it. Nobody could have pointed the finger and say, Paul, you're walking the wrong way, or you're associating with the wrong people, and you've got your eyes on the wrong things. They couldn't have seen it in his life, but he felt it. And there's no one here today that professes that they're perfectly sinless. Romans chapter 7 ought to disabuse everybody of the notion that a Christian will ever become sinlessly perfect this side of heaven. It cannot be. And yet, there are religious movements, some of them you would even claim to be evangelical, like the holiness movements, Pentecostal movements, second blessing movements, Methodist movements at one time, and they made this claim that when you are in Christ, you can have such a blessing that you are no longer struggling with sin. The Bible never teaches that. Paul the Apostle confessed that even in his maturest confession, state as a Christian, that he needed to confess the plague of his own heart. And that is a genuine, godly, mature confession to make. If you come to the prayer meetings of the church, you will hear Christians crying out to the Lord, say, Lord, deliver me from my own sinful tendencies. Deliver me from the lust of the flesh, and give me victory over temptation. That is godly confession. And if it is not the confession of your soul, then you have not even begun this great struggle. In Hebrews 12:4, it talks about striving against sin. That's the Christian life. That's the struggle that we're about. We've not only got a new master, but we've entered into the life of a new struggle. And every one of us are in this battle, in this spiritual warfare against sin around us. And we have to confess even the sin nature and inclination that is within us. Look at chapter 7, verse 14. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. Wow. That is a game changer. When you confess that, I am carnal, you need a Savior. And you need a very present help. And you need power in your own soul to be overcoming. And the more godly we become, the less we confide in self and in the flesh, the less we begin to recognize that we are made like unto Jesus. It's like an artist who draws the picture of a mountain and a mountain scene. And of course, with his art brush, he goes to work and he tries to get the perspective right and the contours right, the colors right, and all the objects in the scene, the trees and the leaves and the valley and the water and the mountains beyond that. And that artist works diligently to get everything in place. But if you were to look at the picture and study it for a while, and then go out into the mountain scene, the same spot where the painter put up his trestle and did the painting, and you compared the painting to the real scene, what would you find? It's not perfect. It's amazingly close. There's good perspective, good attempts at color, good sense of distance between where we're standing and that mountain beyond. But no picture can give full justice to the real scene. It's like standing at the Grand Canyon and we go, wow, it's very impressive. And we take pictures and little video clips, and then we go home and we try to tell our family or friends, I want to show you something. But there is no possible way that you can learn the impact of that canyon from a photograph. And our Christian life is imperfect at best. The very godliest, the very best day, the day of our best devotional life is still an imperfect reflection of the glory that is in the Lord Jesus, and we are called to be conformed to his image. But in this world, we will never get it perfect. Indeed, we will have to conclude with the Apostle Paul that we are not even close. And there is a struggle to resist, strive against sin. And you'll notice in verse 3, this deep confession, I saw another law in my members warring against the law of my mind, bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. He's making it very personal. And he's certainly getting very close to that analogy, that picture of carrying around a dead corpse. My physical body is a hindrance to my spiritual life. My physical body is a limitation to my soaring in spiritual things. It hinders me. And therefore, we end up praying, Lord, deliver us from the body of this death and give us the victory over it. Now, victory was only through the person of Christ. Look at verse 25. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. Victory was his only through the person of Christ as his new head. Now, do you know this struggle? You see, the unconverted person doesn't know anything about this struggle. The unconverted person, if you're here today and you're not a Christian, you're probably thinking, that preacher's saying very strange things. What kind of a life is this? You're probably saying, I don't even understand that, because you love sin. You're in love with the world. You just want to lap up everything it offers. It's pleasant and pleasurable to your sinful nature. But when you're born again and you've got a new nature, that is over. And you've now got a longing to be Christ-like. But you struggle. And so we need power and we need victory. Now the Christian therefore has a new master. We have Christ as our head. We have a new struggle. In verse 23, you'll see that we have a new mind. A new mind. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind. The law of my mind. Did you know that the Christian is much better in his mind than he is in his life? Because he has the will to do and laments that he doesn't have the power to do it. I would be much better if I had the spiritual power, if I had the grace to do it. But I desire to do it. The desire of the Christian is always way better than his practice. But for the unconverted person, it's the other way around. You're far more evil in your heart's desire than you are in practice, because you restrain yourself. There are things that you would do, but you restrain yourself from doing it. And your heart desires more sin. But the Christian is the opposite. The Christian seeks to be delivered and freed from all the life of sin because we have a new mind. Now, verse 25, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind. You notice that in verse 25? With the mind, I myself serve the law of God. I acknowledge it. I agree with it. I'm not questioning it. I have a mind to do it. But I lament that I don't have the spiritual power to accomplish it. That's the struggle. That's the struggle. But with a new mind. Now, chapter 8, verses 5 to 8, you'll see that this mind, the mind of the Christian, is a new mind. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit dwell in you. So we've got a new master, a new struggle, a new mind. And then wonderfully in Romans 8:1, we've got a new walk. You will see that the apostle has an answer to the struggle. And he says in Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And this is where the person of God, the Holy Spirit, is vital to the Christian life. The things that we cannot do in the flesh are wonderfully possible by the help of the Spirit. And if we live after the flesh, or after the Spirit, which means according to the Spirit, we will know new power. And so the Christian life cannot be lived in the flesh. It has to be lived with the help and the daily grace, the daily infilling. I talked about infusion when we were looking at chapter 6, that baptized with Christ. If we are infused, united into his life as the plant, the branch grafted into the vine, and if we are drawing our life from him, then a new life is our portion. But it can't be done in our own strength. It is a life of utter, total dependence upon the power of the Lord. And for that we must pray. For that we must spend time on our knees. And we must be living in blessed, wonderful fellowship in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I bring you to Romans 8. I can't leave you in Romans 7. I can't stop at Romans 7 today, because that's where we would have to say, the things that I would, I do not. But when you get to Romans 8, the chapter of the Spirit, and you can count sometime as you read chapter 8, how many times the Holy Spirit is referred to. This is the chapter of the Spirit. And it's the chapter of power. It's the chapter of victory. It's the chapter where we are above what we could possibly do in our own strength. And it's promised to us right here through the person and the work of the Holy Spirit. Romans 8:1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. But for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free. Would you underline that word free? It changes everything. It hath made me free from the law of sin and death. It's given me a liberty now. A Christian is not a Christian in bondage. A Christian is not a slave. He doesn't sense to be a slave. But we voluntarily cling to Christ, walking in the Spirit, that we might know the freedom, the wonderful freedom that is in the Lord Jesus. So never say that the Christian life is a life of bondage. It's a life of honesty. And the honesty came out there in Romans 7, where Paul said, the things I would, I do not. That's the honesty. That my mind desires, but my body is a hindrance. That's an honesty. And then Romans 8, the answer, the victory. And so we need to pray individually, Lord, fill me with the Holy Spirit. Every Christian needs a Spirit-filled life. Enjoying the grace of the person of the Holy Spirit flowing into our souls. Are you seeking that? If not, could that be the reason for the dullness and the dryness of your soul? Could that be why you find prayer so hard? Could that be why you don't witness for Jesus in the world as you should? You do not seek the help, the indwelling and power of the Holy Spirit. That's a must. That's an absolute must. We must be filled with the Spirit. And we'll know the freedom. There's a freedom in prayer. There's a freedom in praise and worship. There's a freedom in our own souls. I want to live for God. I want to exalt Him. I want to be His servant. It's a glorious freedom. Jesus said it. He whom the Son sets free is free indeed. If you're not a Christian today and you're not saved, you need to be set free, because you're in bondage. You might be interested in religion, but it's a man-made religion. It's a self-empowered religion. And it is impossible, impossible to please God in the flesh. Did we read that somewhere here today? It says that in verse 8, Romans 8. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. You need to be born again. You must be born again. And that's the beginning of a new life. United to, baptized with, and planted together with Christ. I'm drawing those statements from Romans 6. Be baptized into Christ, planted together with Him, and as buried with Him, raised up again in newness of life. That's the Christian life. Not bondage, not legalism, but it is newness of life. And I pray that we will each one enjoy that. And if you're not saved today and you're interested in entering into that newness of life, would you trust Christ as your Savior? Believe on Him where you are right now. You are listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio broadcast of the Free Presbyterian Church in Canada. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you can find it archived by program date on our website. Just go to www.ltbs.ca, CA for Canada. There you can read my blog, find my Bible study notes, audio and video sermons, as well as helpful articles. Or you can go to our podcast on iTunes. We're on the air Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for our full church broadcast, and Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. on this station to bring you the gospel from our Free Presbyterian Church here in Cloverdale. We also invite you to our church services on Sundays, 10:30 and 6 p.m. Through our website, you can listen and view to our online services at 10:30 and 6 p.m. Make it your Sunday worship. Click on the Live Now button on the home page of our website. Or if you would like to talk with me one-on-one as a pastor, please give me a call. The phone number is 604-576-1091. The mailing address is 18790 58th Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S1M6. We're located just two blocks north of Number 10 Highway on 188th Street. Our website again is ltbs.ca. You can join us Monday to Friday, 5 a.m., 5 p.m., here on this station as we let the Bible speak.